it's been decided that we're going to study the book of Colossians, and tonight we're going to start it. And I don't know how I got the job, really, but anyhow, here I am, and we'll see what we can get out of it. We have a little study in the Word, and if you have read it, you notice that Paul mentions the Word all the time, the Word. We note that Paul is the writer, and it's good to know about what we're talking about in the way of geography and things. And Jim got me this here map, and the black lines here is Paul's first missionary journey. Colossae assembly, he came across that on the second missionary journey. And that missionary journey went way up around here into Macedonia and Italy, and then came back down here to Ephesus, and then back around. I don't know. And I got a, Ephesus is right here. Laodicea is there, and some of the other churches are up here that we find mentioned in Revelation, Smyrna and them. And so that area Paul ministered into in his journeys. Ephesians and Colossians and Philemon were all written about the same time, what they call prison epistles, and Colossae is right there, and this area in here, Asia Minor, we used to call it, but it's the way I can see it on the map, it's Turkey now, present day Turkey, Western Turkey, where all of them where it's located. And so I don't believe Paul ever went to Colossae. We can hear that. We can read that as we read the epistle. And now, I don't know how many have read it. I've read it a few times. I'm not a real fast reader, but it only took me 20 minutes to read the whole thing. So you folks that are much better readers could plow through it. And I would encourage you to read it every week. It only takes a few minutes, and it would do your soul good. And the theme is Epaphras, who labored in the Word. And he happened to end up Paul's companion in prison. Giving out the gospel and doing the things for the Lord is a labor, and it has to be a labor of love, and it isn't done easily. And if you think so, just try to give a track out to a guy that's swearing all the time while you're playing golf with him. And it's not an easy thing, or something like that, you know. So you have to labor with it a little bit. or your fellow worker who don't want to hear anything about it ever. So Epaphras, he labored in the word at Colossae. And you know, I don't know whether I'm getting ahead of my notes here, but anyhow, he was probably at Ephesus when Paul came through. And he heard the word and he went forth and out to Colossae and to minister the word. And in this epistle, Paul speaks of a couple errors that were creeping into the Colossae assembly. And one of them was legalism. I don't think I need to be. Legalism. And the other was mysticism. And you get that farther on in the book. And we're not going to read that now because we're not going to get into anybody else's territory. But them things were creeping in. And legalism was brought in by the Jewish people somewhat. Touch not and taste not. We read that verse later on in the book. And observing of days and mysticism is seeing things that are really not, and it talks about angels, and they had to come to God through angels and kind of things like that. And anyhow, the philosophy of the world, you know, a lot of times the philosophy of the world wants to creep in to our Christian lives and tell us that it's all right, it's a better way. But God has given the way to come to Him and to be His sons and daughters. And and I mentioned that Epaphras was Paul's prison friend, companion, and no doubt one that took the gospel to the Colossians, to the and made and that he probably heard Paul in Ephesus. And in 1 Titus 1:8 we read that from there sounded out the gospel, and from those people there that were in Ephesus sounded out the gospel. And there's all these assemblies and churches all in that area, so they must have. The way I understand it, Paul just came to Ephesus, you know, and from there they sounded out the word of God. And you know, that's our duty today as well, that we sound out the gospel, the word of God, and in many different ways, giving out tracts or a word of witness. but he was ardent and enthusiastic about sounding it out. And so his labor of love for the Lord as a theme. And we read Paul declaring the true gospel. Paul is setting forth in this first chapter kind of a little maybe a defense or a status that Christians have to go upon, and they don't need to have philosophy and legalism and these things. And we'll see that that he's setting the groundwork for saying something about these things. And the true gospel, you know, the true gospel don't have a lot of strings attached. Whosoever believes, and God is not willing that any should perish. You know, it's not a select few that he goes around and picks out or anything, but it's whosoever. And that's the true gospel. And that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that he went and he made an atonement upon the cross for your sins and for my sins. And Paul declared the true gospel as he went on his missionary journeys around there. And then these people did the same. And in these verses, in the first chapter, in the verses in the first chapter, he speaks of the deity of the Lord Jesus and our standing. You know, we don't have to stand on works or anything like that, but we can stand on what the Lord has done for us. And so he puts all this forth, and we'll just go down through these verses a little bit and say a few things about them. We read in verse 1, and if you have your Bibles open, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. And right away Paul tells these Colossian believers who he is. He's an apostle, and not by his choice, but by the will of God. And you know, sometimes, what I should say is that we, as sons and daughters of God, we want to be interested in knowing the will of God for our lives. Not our own will, necessarily, but the will of God. Now, Paul had his own program going before Acts 9. And he was persecuting this new fad that was going through the land of Israel. But you know, that was his will. But God's will was that he should be a voice, a spokesman to the Gentiles. And on the Damascus Road, he interrupted Paul's will. And Paul said, what wilt thou have me to do? And you know, we too, as believers, as Christians, want to ask the Lord day by day, what wilt thou have me to do? You know, what shall I do? And what is your will? You know, and a lot of times, you know, for me, I can have some good plans, you know, but they don't always work out, and they haven't always worked out. But the Lord guides his children day by day, and he'll guide you if you seek to ask him and walk in his will and in his for your life. And so Paul, he told them that he was an apostle, and it wasn't because he wanted to be, but God had made him that. And that's what we get out of verse 1. And we need to think about our own will too. Then we read in verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, we want to think about this word grace. You know, Paul says, grace be unto you. And the way you and I and they could have grace, God's unmerited favor, was through the gift of his Son and accepting him as their Savior. God's unmerited favor toward anyone who wishes, who will receive him as their own. Yes, grace be unto you, and grace can be unto each one that trusts in the Lord. And you know, salvation by grace don't just leave you high and dry, but it brings peace. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. And when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ and put our faith and trust in him, the Father gives us that peace that all will be well. Maybe it's not what we want, but we'll have the peace of knowing that all things work together for good to those that love God. And there's nothing greater than to know that as we go through this life, and some it doesn't seem too long either sometimes, but and someday we will be with him in heaven because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us with such grace. So the Apostle Paul is greeting them here, and he's telling them these things. And then and in verse 3 it says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And then in verse 4 it says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have for all the saints. And here is one of the little things that we notice that might tell us that Paul never went to Colossae. He says, since we heard of your faith. And there's another spot where he says that you haven't all seen my face. Now, some of them saw his face because they were probably in Ephesus. And Ephesus isn't too far away. It's about 100 miles, I think, from Colossae, about. So it's a fair ways. But anyhow, in verse 4, we see that he might not have been there. We're not sure about that. And then also in that verse, we see, your faith in Christ Jesus and your love, which ye have for all saints. And you know, you and I, we should have love for all the saints too, even though some of us might not be as lovable as could be, but we should love each other with a godly love. And it's in 1 John 4:21. I guess I'll have to look at it. I don't remember what that's the wrong verse, I think. Wait a minute. I get the wrong one. Oh yeah. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that's the Lord Jesus, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So God has given us that commandment, even though we might not want to do it sometimes. Then in verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. And there he speaks of the word again. In Hebrews 6:19 we read that this hope is a anchor that is sure and steadfast, which enters within the veil, within the sacrifice of and into the holy place, and we have a hope, and you know this hope that we have of someday being with the Lord and being like him, and you know it's not a a hope like we think. I hope you know I'll have easy time tomorrow, or I hope I'll be able to get a new car or something, you know, but I got to figure out my bank account and all this, you know. No, it's a sure hope that goes along with being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, which liveth and abideth forever. So we have a hope, an anchor. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, because I live, ye shall live also. And he rose again from the grave for our justification. And so the Apostle Paul in his introduction talks about this. And then in verse 5 also we have the truth of the gospel. I said a little something about that before, the gospel is not to be added to it. It's by faith. It's for whosoever will and whatnot. There's nothing we can work for to get it. And the gospel is God's good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul, I believe, said, of whom I am chief. And we're all in that state. So it was the truth of the gospel. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's how we have to get to the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. And that's what we have in verse 5. And then we go down, and verse 6 says, and it which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. That's the gospel he's talking about. As it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Yes, the grace of God in truth. And John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. So Lord Jesus Christ came and brought grace and truth. And we go on as ye also learned that Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And he says here that he wanted them to be filled, we as believers need to be filled too, day by day, by reading God's word, and that's the way we get knowledge. Not only that, but if you want to know the will of God for your life, you need to read his word, because his will is in here. Some is very clear and some is not, but his written will is here. And if that doesn't satisfy your need, then you need to pray to him and have him direct you, and have him guide in the affairs of your life. And Larry and I, when we would go to do a church or something, we'd have a word of prayer and ask the Lord, if he didn't want us to do it, to make us a stone wall that we can't crawl over. And that's the same thing in buying a building too. You know, I want this building, Lord, but if you don't want me to have it, make a stone wall. And the Lord can make a stone wall to keep you from it. And if you're desirous of his will, he will guide you and he will direct you. And so the Apostle Paul tells us that we need to be filled, and by that we need to read his word daily. Now, we don't have to read a whole lot. I'm an advocate of reading a few verses and then forgetting them. But you know, the Lord brings them on later on sometime, you know. And in a busy life, you get up in the morning, if you read a few scriptures, and all of a sudden the phone rings, they just kind of fly out of your mind. At least that's what you think. Because you try to think of what you read that morning, and you can't, but then a day or two later, something comes up, and bango, it comes right into your mind, and you know, as we read God's word, it gets into our computer, and the Holy Spirit can bring it to our remembrance when he wants us to have it. So, so we need to be filled that we might walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and in ceasing, in increasing in the knowledge of God. Apostle Paul tells them that they need to walk worthy, you know. And you and I, in this world today, we need to walk worthy of the Lord and not cause shame on him. And in a way, we don't want to do any deceitful things. We don't want to be crooked or tell lies or anything like that. And they say, oh, that's a Christian, you know. Well, we want to walk worthy of the Lord in all honesty to those that are without. In all pleasing. You know, the Lord is—he's emotional, and he gets angry. It tells us that in the Word. And but then here, Apostle Paul says, "Walk all pleasing in His sight." And you know, there's a nice verse in 1 John 3:22. That tells us about our prayers. And it's speaking about pleasing too. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. But He didn't stop there. He says, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And the Lord wants us not only to keep His commandments and His statutes, but He also wants us to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And that could be just a kind word to somebody who don't really deserve it. You can give it if you make your mind up to it. And so we need to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And I think we'll stop there and somebody can take over from there. And as Paul is setting this up for the Colossian believers, all these things, love, hope, the truth of the gospel, and everything, that he might tell them that what they're doing is not according to God's word. And then we see in verses 15 through 19, there's 7 points where the Lord Jesus Christ is better than angels and better than anything else. And somebody can work on that the next time. And so Paul is kind of setting up his defense to these believers that he hasn't seen, but he's an apostle. And he tells us of all these things that they have, and you and I have the same things, and we need to prove and watch and be careful that we don't stray from God's word. And may God help us here at Blaisdell to sound out the gospel in grace